This is Stu Epperson from the Truth Talk Podcast, connecting current events, pop culture, and theology. And we're so grateful for you that you've chosen the Truth Podcast Network. It's about to start in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, and please share it around with all your friends. Thanks for listening, and thanks for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Well, guess what? Robbie isn't with us this morning. I'm Jerry Mathis, Praise Body Shop and Record Service, also from the Christian Car Guy Radio Show. Robbie this morning is at Park Springs Christian Camp with a men's retreat, Dangerous Hearts Retreat. I think they've been there since Wednesday, and I'm sure they're having a great time and really digging into God's Word. And so we certainly miss them this morning, but this morning you got to just put up with me instead, because the main man is not here. And so I'm sitting in his seat for this hour. Also this morning I have, I'm going to tell you what, I'm excited about the guest in the studio is Daniel. Daniel Dominguez has been, I've known Daniel for a few years.
Maybe 5 years.
Yeah, well, it goes back further than that, because when you interned.
That's right, maybe 6 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
I think so, 6 years.
Well, Daniel is, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to let Daniel introduce himself. And also my question to start with is, tell me a little bit about your background. What got you into the field you're in, ministry field, and what brought you to Winston-Salem and to Pinedale Christian Church?
Sure. Thank you, Jerry. My name is Daniel Dominguez, and I am a middle school youth pastor now. I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in a small town in Kansas, and when I graduated high school and I went to college, it was not for ministry. I wasn't planning on going into ministry and doing anything ministry specific, but God had other plans. And so I followed those plans, and I transferred in college several times, but ended up at Ozark Christian College, which is in Joplin, Missouri. And the only reason I went to Ozark Christian College was because that was the only school I'd ever heard of that trained ministers. All of the ministers that I had been in contact with had gone to Ozark Christian College. So when God told me to go into ministry, I said, I have to go to Ozark because I don't know of anywhere else to go. So that's how I ended up there.
It was a narrow field. It was a
yeah, yes, it is. And from there, I did a few summer internships and just explored children's ministry, youth ministry, both sides of that very similar coin. And one day I got a call from a children's minister at Pinedale Christian Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, a church I had not heard of, a children's minister I had not heard of, but now I've come to know very well.
Wait, who is that children's minister?
Sean Earhart.
And you know, you're on the air saying you've never heard of him. He thinks he is world. He thinks everybody has heard of him.
Now maybe that's more the case because we just said it on the air. But I took an internship with Pinedale Christian Church with their children's ministry, and that was a year-long internship, an intense internship, almost more of a residency program with a lot of training and detail and rigor that you don't get in a two-month, three-month, or even six-month internship. You just see a lot of the life cycle of a church, the cycle of ministry that you go through in a year. It's important to see, I think, for young ministers and people going into ministry. So following my year here, which is a great year, the year that I was at Pinedale, when I first met you as one of the elders, a leader at Pinedale Christian Church, I left because that's what you were supposed to do. That was the model of the internship, was to leave. So I left like I was supposed to, a good intern. I left, but several years later, God called me back. There had been an open position at Pinedale Christian Church in the middle school minister spot for almost a full year. And Pinedale did not approach me, and I did not approach Pinedale, because that wasn't the setup. The setup wasn't for me to ever come back. The setup was, you came as an intern and then you and then you left.
You're from Kansas. You know, you always go back home, right?
That's right. Yeah, and I was. I did. I went back to Missouri. So I was closer. I was closer, definitely, to Kansas. But again, God had other plans. So I came back and now I've been here at Pinedale for almost 2 years. Oh, a little over 2 years. It goes by quickly.
Yeah. And what I want to make sure we spend some time this morning talking about is, but I also want to touch on a couple other subjects before that's probably things that
sure.
you've dabbled into and
yes.
sort of forced into because of the environment we're in.
Yeah.
But one of them is just, you know, how important it is to connect with our students and that mm-hmm. generation, that special middle school and then senior high students, because what they're, you know, that the world they're living in is, you know, it's rapidly changing. And, you know, and if you look at all the statistics and trends, it tells us that those kids are the ones we're losing in mm-hmm. the churches.
Right. And I, something I know that you've heard before is that our children and, you know, include youth in that are not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. If you're not building a foundation for them, if you're not training them, if you're not instilling at the very least a positive feeling and attitude towards church and the Christian community and the gospel, then they're not going to be the church of tomorrow. That's not ever going to translate to tomorrow if you're not doing something about it today. So churches, thankfully churches that I've been a part of and a lot of great churches know that. And so they put their money where their mouth is, you know, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And if you want students and you want children to be the church of tomorrow, the leaders of tomorrow, you have to be doing things for them today, dedicating resources and time and energy and a lot of your talent towards what you are doing for the young people in your community.
Yeah, and this morning, you know, the show, you know, we're talking specifics about what's going on at Pinedale, but really what that transcends into what we need to do globally for
right.
our kids, because, you know, I hope this morning something that is said may trigger something, you know, because it's not always just, the burden isn't just on the ministers.
Right.
You know, it
Thankfully.
Needs to be, you know, it needs to be, you know, the leadership of the church, but, you know, even when you go further down, it also, as a parent, what's important, because I've had this conversation with, I can tell you, numerous parents who will sit there and say, well, you know what, I'm not going to force my beliefs on my child, so I'm not going to force them to come when they start getting to a certain age to church and stuff. My first question is, well, you going to send them to school Monday morning? Or you
right.
going to make sure they eat?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, but people want to step back and think, well, it's not my responsibility, because
sure.
that's sort of the culture we're getting in. So I hope this morning, something we say or something that you bring up and talk about that we're doing now that's engaging that segment of society will, you know, trigger something in somebody's mind to be able to take that and to run with it and to grow it into whatever fits their church or their community.
Yeah, hopefully. And hopefully your listeners have grace in case I misspeak or I say something that I shouldn't. But I'm really happy and excited to just be on the radio in general. This is fulfilling part of a dream I've had for a long time, because my favorite 90s sitcom, okay, get ready for this, it was Frasier, which is based on a radio show. And I love that show. I love the radio. So I'm just excited to be here and to get to talk a part of and to have some conversations on the radio that you and I have had in person. Now we just get to relay them for your listeners.
Yeah. And one of the things I said I was going to talk about, a little bit of things that's not your field of expertise or in the ministries you thought you'd be involved in. I think probably 6 months ago, you had no idea you would be involved in.
Nobody did.
And all of a sudden, the world changed around us. And like so many other churches, decided or realized the importance of live streaming.
Right.
And I tell you what, I know that a year and a half ago, when we were talking about at Pinedale upgrading and doing renovations and remodeling, the budget for the live streaming thing was so huge. I'm one that was kind of like, oh, is it really worth it? And all of a sudden I say, boy, God was sitting there, laid it here, and thank God we went that way, because
right.
we're able to minister. And I think you probably know this, but Easter weekend
mm-hmm.
was the most viewed Easter service. Well, so it'd be the most viewed religious service of all time. And there was
That's
nobody
incredible.
Inside the buildings
right.
because it was all live streaming.
Right. And you mentioned, you know, that as we talk about ministry for students. We're not just talking about Pinedale. We're not just talking about a local church. And really, local church has kind of lost meaning because we're outside the walls.
Yep. And we're going to, again, talk about some of the areas that you're involved in with that as far as, you know, the live streaming. And you are a host during the live stream. And I know that's not the norm for everyone, but we're going to talk about that and the impact of that and what your take is from that. Morning, welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits. And before I go back to Daniel, I just want to take just a moment and take an opportunity to share just one of the ministries that I'm involved in and have a great passion for and heart for. That's Jesus Labor of Love. We don't talk about it much on this show. We talk about it a little bit more on the Christian Car Guy radio show. But if you're looking for an area to be able to get plugged into a ministry outside your church, Jesus Labor of Love, you can go on Christian Car Guy Radio and there's a link to it, or you can pull it up, Jesus Labor of Love, and it'll talk about some of the areas of ministry that you can get involved in with either being a prayer warrior, helping with scheduling some of the repairs, or also just being a repair facility or just donating. And Jesus Labor of Love is a ministry that Robbie had God put it on his heart probably, I'm trying to think as I sit here how many years ago, but he met with me and Bob Young and became part of the founders of the Jesus Labor of Love, where we are able to give resources and repairs to widows with their cars when they're broke down or don't have a car. Some of them just need a vehicle. But it's a great opportunity to serve people in a time of need. And some of these stories just break my heart. And so if you're looking for a way to spend some time and to volunteer, we'd love to have you come on board. If you're looking for an opportunity to give financially, there's a link there to be able to do that. I always say, I don't want you taken from your local church, but if you're looking for a way to give something a little extra or something, we'd love to have you join us and be part of the ministry, because it makes a huge impact in these families' lives. And we don't realize just how important a vehicle is, especially some of these stories where they'll have kids that have issues and health problems and just needing transportation to get them to and from the hospital, get groceries, just a basic need. So go on there, look, Jesus Labor of Love, go to the link or go to the website and see if there's any way that God lays on your heart to help. Back to Daniel.
Hello.
Talking about the live streaming.
That's right. It's new to everyone. None of us were experts in it. There were a few experts, but at least at our church, no one had done it before until we had to do it. And God laid out a path for us to be able to do it. We didn't have to scramble to get it set up. We were already planning on launching. And then the first Sunday that we had to have it, we had it. But when none of us were quite sure how to use it or how it was going to work for our people. And so we all just, it was all hands on deck.
Yeah. And we're doing something, Pinedale is doing something that's a little unique that I don't think is, we have a host, and that host happens to be Daniel.
Oh, that's me. Yeah.
And, you know, what's your take on that? Because that is kind of interesting, because I don't know, when I'm sitting there listening to it and watching it live streaming and then mm-hmm. watching the comments that are scrolling down on the screen
sure.
and stuff, it's kind of interesting. And then the way you're able to navigate some of the questions and stuff to be able to continue to point them to on topic of the service.
Right.
But yet also keeping them on track on God's word.
Right. For some people, it feels like talking in church, which you would have gotten a flick on the ear or smack on the back of the head for. At one time, that would have happened. But online, when you are watching a service online, when you're streaming something online, chatting, you know, typing a little comment, asking a question, chatting with someone who is live on the other end to pray with them, I think it's less talking in church in a negative sense, and it's more engagement, because there is something that you lose when you're sitting at home, when you're watching on your phone or on your TV, than when you are in person. It becomes not disruptive to talk in church. It becomes beneficial to engage another part of your brain and another part of your attention to not just watch TV. We don't want it to feel like you're watching TV. We want it to feel like you're part of a service. So being able to chat, I think, can help some people engage more so it doesn't feel like you're sitting in your lazy boy watching nightly TV or something like that.
Yeah, and I think probably one of the fears I have, or one of the struggles I think we're going to have in the churches in America are going to have, is when we get all this behind us, is just engaging people to get back into the church inside those walls. Because the one thing you mentioned about the chat sort of helps us engage, but you know, that's just so important. The church, you know, the community of believers and coming together is just so important. I mean, that's what God laid out. I mean, that's what Acts was all about. You know,
yeah.
The church was that gathering.
Yes. And there is something that online can't accomplish. There are things that an online service, there are things that that digital content can't replace. Just like there is something about earthly worship that will not compare to heavenly worship. As distant as being in your house feels from being in church, I think being in church should feel so distant from being in God's presence when we are physically there. So I think we're removed in certain levels, being in your house, being watching on a screen versus watching in person. There definitely is something that is lost. And I think as especially young people that I work with, middle school and high school students, they are experiencing almost for the first time some screen fatigue that older adults have known for a long time. I remember years ago when I lived at home with my mom, of her coming home and me asking her to do something or look at something on the computer. And she said, "I've been on the computer all day. I can't take anymore." and young people my age, I couldn't fathom that. I was like, well, it's just a computer. Just look at this thing on my phone. This is not a big deal. But for 3 months, for 4 months, now for 5 months, and looking forward into the fall, when everything you're taking in, when you are expected to take everything in through a screen, there is some fatigue. So I think, thankfully, I think part of what will draw people back to in-person gatherings when that happens in whatever area people live, they will be thirsty for the gathering, the sharing physical space and worshiping with people in person.
Yeah, and I know that we've already we have started back the re-engaging mm-hmm. people back on campus. Last week at Pinedale was the first week, and we had, you know, the space, the distancing and the whole program as far as how we were going to incorporate it back in. And I thought it worked fairly well, but it's still different.
It's just different.
It's not the same. So I long for the day that we can go in there and somebody I haven't seen in a while, give them a hug and a handshake. You know, the elbow bump is all right, and it's kind of fun there for a while, and you laugh about it. But you know what? I just long to get back to that. But also, I'm just so grateful for the fact, as you mentioned, you know, we had planned on launching the live stream the Sunday. We were told we could not gather at a church
right.
anymore. So, you know, God just, for us, I could just see how God worked it all out and had things planned for us. But then moving forward, you know that that's always going to be a part of the church moving forward, the church in general.
Right. History has been made, and the future has been set in a sense that I think churches should never roll back anything that they've rolled out, especially when it comes to digital content, when it comes to online engagement, because like we talked about with the church of tomorrow, young people, they need to be engaged today. And even when youth, even when students, even when children are in person for a service, they can be engaged throughout the week through digital content, through online services, through social media. That's something that I think churches have realized for a long time, but they didn't have to put everything into that basket. But then when you take everyone out of church, you have to put everything in that basket. That's the only basket that you are left with.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I want to talk about, is because I know that you have done an excellent job on that, as far as just keeping the church engaged, but also keeping our students engaged. And when you sit there and I look at all the data, and I'm sure everybody's data looks somewhat similar, because all of a sudden, you know, it's not that community church anymore, because we have online streaming. Is, you know, we got people, Texas, Florida, mm-hmm. you know, West Virginia, Tennessee, I mean, all over the place. And then you start looking where you see that over the last few months, Pinedale in Winston-Salem, North Carolina has become the church for, because you see the frequency of use and stuff. So the same people that are tuning back in that for some reason run across right. our church, and now we are their church.
Yeah. I think everyone's sphere of influence, especially when it's on the internet, your sphere of influence is untold. It's almost unfathomable how many people you can reach, who you can reach, who can find you, who can stumble across something that you've put out online, what can be reshared or retweeted or reposted, and where that can carry. It's amazing what God or where God pushes his ideas, his mission.
Yeah, it just opens up a whole new audience out there to be able to hear. You know, there's a lot of stuff on the internet,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of stuff online and stuff. And you know what? We're able to go ahead and have as far as the church goes, have a voice in that world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important to make sure that we, as you said, I don't think we'll ever kind of scale back or step back. It'll be sort of moving forward, how all of the stuff we've learned over the last 5 months,
mm-hmm.
how we improve and stay connected to that segment, because the younger generation, I mean, you're a lot younger than me, but then even the ones that you're ministering to,
right?
That's the world they're, that's their world.
That's where they live. And it's so important to know where the people you serve, where they live, be that their home, you know, their home address is important. The culture of their family is important. And even where they live online is important.
Yeah. And so I look forward to getting a little deeper in some of the student ministry stuff coming up after the next segment. Thank you, Daniel. And we'll be back in just a moment. Good morning and welcome back to Kingdom Pursuit, on the line live from Miami, which is probably getting ready for a great show, as the host of The Cure. It's author and speaker Amy Cabo. Good morning, Amy, and just to give us a little bit ready for what's going to happen on the show this morning.
Well, today we have a very exciting show, because I'm going to have a guest who is a dance teacher and also an author, and we're going to discuss the hypersexualization of children in the entertainment industry, more specifically music and dance, and also how this can lead to dangerous behaviors such as child trafficking and child exploitation.
Wow, that sort of fits right into what we're talking about this morning on Kingdom Pursuits, where we have Daniel, who's a middle school and minister at Pinedale Christian Church, just talking about our young kids. I know it'll be a great show, and so I encourage everybody to listen. It's a live call-in show. It's The Cure with Amy Cabo, and it's this afternoon at 1 on the Truth Network. Amy, thank you for being with us this morning, and look forward to the show.
Thank you so much. Much appreciated.
Thank you. Well, Daniel, we're going to drift back into the students now.
Okay.
I know that over the last few months, it has certainly probably been a little bit of a challenge. How do you stay connected?
To say the least.
How do you make sure that you're ministering to these kids, and how are you able to do it? I mean, that's the thing. And this is the part that I really hope that people can take something away from what is said this morning, as far as, you know what, how do I make my youth program mm-hmm. and student ministry work? How can I really engage? Because all of a sudden I don't have them. I'm not face to face with them
right.
every week.
Right.
So what are we doing?
Well,
are you doing?
That's right. What am I doing? Well, I am by no means an expert in any field, let alone this field, as particularly young minister, some people might say, oh, well, that makes you especially equipped to deal with young people. But my generation is very different from the generation of middle schoolers, of teens and preteens that I work with. So even being younger still removes me from their world enough that I have to work at it. And no matter what stage of life I'm in, it doesn't make me more or less relevant to them as long as I'm present in the stage that I'm in. Right now, it's cool because I'm a 20-something like single. Oh, he's cool. So I can bank on that. But when I'm older, I'll be...
You'll just be old and not as cool, right?
No, not at all. Because then you just relate in a different way, right? You are like... You're like the older brother, or you're like the cool dad, or you're like the loving grandfather that, you know, that can look over and guide the ministry and the students. But right now, I'm just that kind of cool 20-something. So some people might think I've got it all figured out, but if there was no better leveler than quarantine, than COVID-19, because it took everyone, every person in ministry down to the same ground zero of what do we do now? We didn't know. Nobody knew. So it's been a lot of just throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks. If we've got an idea, let's try it. In some ways, a lot of the normal hurdles that you would have to cross to start a new program, to attempt something new, were gone. You know, we couldn't have a meeting with parents to figure this out. And we didn't have any budget, so there was no danger of losing money because we weren't spending any money. These were all things we needed to do for free.
I like that. That's what
yes, he said yes. So all of these kind of normal hurdles and benchmarks that you would hit as you try to launch something new were gone. So it was just, you got an idea. Well, we'll try it. What's the worst? We don't do it the next week. We don't do it the next day. Things online, it's interesting because there are some things online that will live forever, and then there are some things online that go by in an instant and everyone forgets. So we tried to put things in place and just to see what would happen. So we started meeting online on an online meeting platform. We chose Zoom just because that was what our local schools were using. So we knew that students were already familiar with Zoom and how it worked, but there's plenty of other online tools for that. And that's how we connected our small group leaders. So we split our middle school students up into six groups: sixth grade boys, sixth grade girls, seventh grade boys, seventh grade girls, eighth grade boys, eighth grade girls. So those are our six groups, and they're each led by Christian adults.
Slow you down, just sure. Pause there for just a minute, because I think that is such an important ministry for our students.
It is.
And I can see it moving forward for anybody. Just share what is the small groups that we've implemented, and it's, I don't know how many years now Pinedale's been doing it.
Quite a few years. We actually now have adult small group leaders that were in a small group when they were in middle school. And so now they are back to disciple the next generation of middle schoolers. But we recruit, and oftentimes people come and find us within our church. They come to say, I am passionate about pouring into students. I'm passionate about discipling young people. What can I do? How can I help? And we interview them. We get to know them. A lot of these are people that we already have some relationship with. And so we kind of pair them up and we say, you would be great, you know, Bobby Sue, you would be great with the sixth grade girls, and Jim Bob, you would be great with the seventh grade boys. Our plan, our ideal is that we recruit leaders for a sixth grade class, and then they stay with that sixth grade class, not just through middle school, but then they stay with them all the way through high school. And that's a 7-year commitment from a volunteer, from a layperson in the church. That is huge. And only by the grace of God, only by the power of the Spirit, does it work, and it lasts, and it is not just rewarding for the students, but for the small group leaders themselves. So, things happen, life changes. Sometimes leaders have to step down or they move away, and it just doesn't work anymore. And so we have to fill in spots from time to time between 6th and 12th grade. But for the leaders that are able to disciple their students for those 7 years, that's not a relationship that ends at high school graduation. You know, after 7 years of discipling someone, you are lifelong friends. You are lifelong brothers and sisters in Christ. So that model, that program, is not one that I started. It was already in place when I came to this church, and I'm so thankful for it because it releases pressure from me as a youth pastor. I don't have to be everything to everybody. I don't have to be the where the buck stops for my students. I'm not the only voice of a Christian life. You know, I am not married, so I don't have like a wife to partner with me for my female students, but I have some really awesome female small group leaders, godly women that can pour into my female students. And I have godly men that aren't 20 something youth pastors. They are men of business and men of enterprise, and they are adults and they are dads, and some of them are grandpas, and they are great small group leaders for their young men.
Yeah. I just love that program as far as the church goes and stuff, because yeah, the benefits, I mean, all of a sudden, as you said, it's just the time put in and the relationships that you build and being able to move forward past just that time is mm-hmm. the school years. And that's one thing I liked you talked about when you first came is to Pinedale. You were working in the children's ministry as the intern, slave, whatever you want to
call it. Yeah.
but the thing was, you know, or is with Pinedale, is we understand the importance of that. So with April, who is in the preschool area, mm-hmm. all the way up to Sean, then you, and then Martin, you know, our kids, is just, as you said early on, is just put your money where your mouth is a little bit. And that's so important. We just got to make sure that we hang on to our kids and keep them in church and keep them engaged where they see Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Be back in a moment. Christian Car Guy Radio. How about Kingdom Pursuits? Back in a moment. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, and Daniel, again, back to where we were at, talking about just engaging our students and our youths inside the church and just how important it is not to lose that generation. And I know that, like I said, none of us are experts on any of this, and it's all day-to-day it changes. I mean, we may think we have the answer for tomorrow, but then all the rules change on us, so we just have to adapt.
That's right. If we've learned anything through this, it's that there is nothing that could happen that could change everything. Anything could happen and everything could change tomorrow, later today. You just don't know. But the plans that you set out in ministry, especially, God can change those. And you know, that the summer program that you were planning for this summer likely got canceled. It's likely been reworked. You had to retool. We had to completely pivot from a trip that we normally take out of state, that we take a lot of students on. It ended up being something that we are doing in person, distanced, in masks, and with a much smaller crowd. And sometimes that can be discouraging, you know, especially when you do something online, when you put something out there to, hey, join this Zoom call or watch my Instagram live or comment on this post or reshare this or that. We just can't measure numbers the same way, especially churches of size and even small churches when, you know, getting 12 students, getting 20 students in the door was a big deal. Online, you may only get two students to join something online. You may only get one person to like or share something. And that can feel really disheartening when you are using the same measurements pre-COVID, in COVID and post-COVID. It's different. And I think one thing that that I've said with people that I work with, something that I say out loud sometimes just so I can hear it back, is that the measurement of success now is not, it's not numbers, it's not popularity, it's faithfulness. The success is in the doing of the thing, not in the success of the thing. God is calling ministers to reach out and to be dutiful and to be faithful and to set an example of being a resource for students, setting an example of being dependable for students when literally everything became shaky. Everything was just kind of like, is that going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Everything canceled. Everything was pulled out the rug for middle school students, for high school students, prom, graduation, all gone. So if a church can say, hey, even though we aren't doing A, B, C, D, I am going to be doing, you know, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P online, and I'm going to do it even if you only show up, even if few others show up, the church, your ministry, your youth ministry, your small group leaders, the disciple makers in your church are going to be dependable when everything else is not.
Yeah, and that's just so important. I mean, really think about it. I mean, kids or young adults are no different from us adults. We need stability and mm-hmm. need to see commitment. I mean, because there's one thing about anything, without commitment, we're pretty shallow, and people can easily see through that.
Right.
And I know one of the things that I hear from people that I have kids and stuff, some of the things y'all even send out, some kind of the goofy videos to mm-hmm. them and stuff, just staying connected. I mean, it's share a little bit about that.
Yeah, being able to have fun, being lighthearted is just as important, especially for students that are taking in the same media that you and I take in. You know, the internet doesn't filter itself for young people versus older people, young adults versus adults. So they're taking in the same scary, anxiety-inducing information that you and I are taking in. And so they need to know it's okay to lighten up. It's okay to have fun. Things are serious, but they're not always going to be serious. And my church is a resource. My Christian community, I can rely on them for important things, but also just the fun stuff, because that is important too. Sometimes you have fun for the sake of having fun, and God works through that.
Yeah, and you get there, and we get to the point of where we can get sort of, as you get older and stuff, we're going into this month of this and the next month, as we get sort of callous and don't want to put that same effort into it. But it's so important that our kids see that same effort going into it, seeing that same passion, seeing that same love and stuff. I think that's what you reflect through all of that, and even to the being the online host, that's what I see, and I'm just so grateful for that. And know that God is going to work his way through it, because one thing to realize is that generation of kids is worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. It's worth making sure that, you know what, I'm going to let them know that God is faithful, God is hope, God is going to get them through it, but they have to see that in me. They have to see that in their ministry, and you're their minister.
Yeah, and no minister was called to do this. No one went to school for this. No one was trained in this, but that is where ministers are. This is where ministers are, and God is going to use people in ministry, lay people, professional people, to reach students.
Absolutely. Daniel, great having you with us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Jerry.
Hey, awesome morning. Hey, tomorrow morning, go online and watch
service,
right,
wherever
or
you are.
Personally go. And if you're able to, Pinedale Christian Church or Pinedale.Church.
That's right.
You'll get a chat with Daniel tomorrow.
That's right.
All right. Have a great day.
This is the Truth Network.